Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
Thank you for joining us for Our Shepherd's View. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with the Most Reverend Bishop Michael Mulvey on this 32nd Sunday in Ordinary Time. Good morning, Bishop. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Our gospel this morning is from St. Luke.
This gospel is taken from the 20th chapter of St. Luke, beginning with verse 27. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection, came forward and put this question to Jesus, saying, Teacher, Moses wrote for us, if someone's brother dies, leaving a wife but no child, this brother must take the wife and raise up descendants for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married a woman, but died childless. Then the second and the third married her. And likewise, all the seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. Now at the resurrection, whose wife will that woman be? For all seven had married her. Jesus said to them, The children of this age marry and remarry. But those who are deemed worthy to attain to the coming age and to the resurrection of the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. They can no longer die, for they are like angels, and they are the children of God, because they are the ones who will rise. That the dead will rise, even Moses made known in the passage about the bush, when he called out, Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And he is not God of the dead, but of the living. To him all are alive. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Bishop, a very interesting gospel.
This is kind of a challenge to talk about, so you know, I hope we can spend the hour productively, or the 30 minutes, trying to kind of understand this. Well, you know, of course, we have to see who the Sadducees are and who the Pharisees are. The Pharisees, of course, believed in a resurrection, and Jesus quotes here that Moses made it known that there is a resurrection. When Moses speaks, of course, beyond the dead, so Moses is speaking of the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. So those patriarchs of the Jewish faith and Jewish people who were before, who preceded Moses, still very alive in their mentality and their mind. So there's a speaking of those who have died to this world and yet are still alive. So the Pharisees believed in that resurrection or that new life, that continuation of life, we might say. The Sadducees didn't. So that being the case, do it all now. They were, I guess you might say, free thinkers. We kind of have this mentality too, because once you don't believe in an afterlife, I mean, you really, your whole perception and concept of God changes as well. So they really come to Jesus to put the question to him. Another thing is that for them, they were quoting Moses about living on through your descendants. So really, the afterlife, you might say, was a living on through the descendants. So a father lived, continued to live, not so much in an afterlife, but through his children, and then his children's children. So you might say eternity, as long as there was a bloodline or a line of children, then that one person continued to live. And so the Sadducees, this group, brings this question to Jesus, kind of a trick question, you might say.
It's almost like they're trying to trap him.
Exactly, and that's been done before, always trying to trap him. But the Son of God, the truth, eternal truth of God is never trapped. So Jesus obviously had an answer for them. and a teaching. Jesus mm-hmm. answers a question and always uses a situation where there's a kind of a trap question to also teach something. And so we have a teaching here as well. But anyway, we're going back to this woman who had the first husband, no children, second, third, all the way to the seventh, and no children, which means that those brothers had no way of continuing to live through them. So, and then the woman died. So the question is, so now, great teacher, in your vision of things, in your heaven, whose wife will this woman be? And I'm sure to their surprise, Jesus said none of them. Because in heaven, life is different. It's not, we don't think by the same categories as we did in this world. We spoke last Sunday about being purified, and we spoke about All Souls Day, that we are purified. And so even our mentality is purified, and the fact of relationship, because marriage is a relationship. And even those kinds of relationships, which are physical relationships, which is a gift from God in marriage. But even that kind of a relationship is not part of that new life that we will be experiencing, because God is all in all. Our hearts are totally satisfied in God. That's hard for us to understand, but you know, or to imagine even here. But it's another reason for us to really look beyond just the physical side of life and to see that there is, that God is all in all. So Jesus speaks then to them about the next life, that it is another experience. I guess all of us try to imagine what is heaven like. It's a valid question. God would not have given us an imagination if we were not to use it. And many times we rely on past artwork and things that were said. But, you know, I've heard this from other authors, and I think it's something that I certainly would espouse myself, that heaven is going to be just mountains and hills and valleys and oceans. And I mean, it's life. I mean, I don't think God would make all this creation and then just say, well, that's no good anymore. So I really think it's very much like what we have here, but purified, you know, the whole thing of ecology. And that's why we need to be good caretakers of the earth, good stewards of the earth, because it's God's creation. If God create something, it's beautiful. The way we relate to the world will be different, however, in that new life. So I could say it's pretty much the same of what we have here, minus many many things that maybe are of our creation, but so much the same, but very purified, so very different. Again, in our relationships, personal relationships, but also in our relationship to the world around us. In all of that, though, God will be all in all for us. Everything will be seen through God. Everything will be seen as love. And so for that reason, Jesus says that she will not be the wife of anyone, because that kind of a need of a relationship, that kind of relating in that way, will be taken care of by our relationship with God, that he will satisfy our hearts. He will satisfy our needs. He will satisfy all our longings. And so all those other human longings, in whatever way they've expressed themselves in this life, will be gone. That great opening or line in the opening chapters of St. Augustine's Confessions, that our hearts are restless, which in this world they are restless. In this world we want and we need so many things, but in that life, in the next life, those wants and needs are going to be gone. And that's what's hard for us to imagine, because here we feel we need, we're incomplete. So St. Augustine says, our hearts are restless until they rest in you. So he already could almost foresee that living in the next life in front of God, in God's presence. I called it last week the beatific vision, that vision of God will be the satisfaction of everything. We have a heart, as I've said just now, it's hard for us to imagine that, because we live in a life where we're not complete, and so we long and we desire, we want, we won't have that.
And I guess not to confuse the point, to some of our listeners, but when both parents have passed away, and you'll read in the obituaries, and it says he joined her, and they do join, and they are together in the communion of spirits.
It's a purified relationship. Our relationships here can be so beautiful, almost heavenly, you know, in many ways. And so it's not a disparaging remark at all about our human relationships. It's just that those relationships are now completely in and through God. Right. And that's a whole different story. Again, that's why I think in prayer, we begin to sense when we really enter into prayer, and I don't mean just saying prayers, but when we really enter into God's presence in prayer, through a moment of adoration, and we're just kind of taken away from the longings of this life, you might say. And those are just touches and experiences, I think, of the next life. So it's important that we spend time quietly in prayer, just looking upon the face of God in our hearts and wanting God. But we too need to look for and want God. And the more we long for and want God, we'll begin to experience the next life as well.
And you said a couple of Sundays ago to go tell God that you love him.
Right. And in that, you'll know that he loves you too.
Right. Such a beautiful thing to say. Thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break. Our Shepherd's View will continue. Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View on this 32nd Sunday in Ordinary Time. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with the Most Reverend Bishop Michael Mulvey. And before the break, Bishop, we were talking about heaven and how relationships are different in heaven, and they're not really physical relationships, but as we do believe in the resurrection of the body, how does all of that relate?
Right, yeah. Well, again, you know, what the body is in heaven is different than in what it is here. It's a physical presence. Certainly our bodies will rise, and we see that in both the more explicitly, really, in the Apostles' Creed, but at the very end of the Nicene Creed, which we recite normally every Sunday, Sometimes we can use the Apostles' Creed too, but we see that at the very end of that we acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, we look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. And that's from the Nicene Creed that we recite, we pray. And then in the Apostles' Creed, we pray at the end of that creed, we pray, I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. So both of our creeds end with resurrection and life. So what we believe in here, we also believe more in after death. Our bodies will be different. I mean, in the fact that we know that when we die, the blood flow, the organs stop functioning. Again, that body then, of all those longings and needs, the fact of hunger, physical hunger, physical pain, all of those things cease. The body then, in seeing God, is brought to a new level of existence. I'm certainly not one that I'm going to sit here and tell you exactly what that is, because I don't know. But it is the fact that our body is brought to a whole different level of existence, which, again, is part of our identity, that we are identified many times through not only our voice, but also in who we are, how we look, our outer expression. That's why it's important that we take care of the body. Now that we use that body, because our body is used in a way for communion, to express our love for one another. Could be a hug, a handshake, or the relationship between a husband and a wife. It's the way we express ourselves in this life. Our body is important in the next life, because that communion with one another, the communion, first of all, with God, is really through the body. And Pope John Paul II spoke about this so often, that our communion with one another is really expressed through the body in so many ways. And so even in heaven, we will express ourselves through the body. We will not be just spirit as we are with angels, but we believe in heaven that expression of self will also be through some form of this body, which is mine, which is distinctively mine, distinctively yours and everyone else's. So we have to believe in that resurrection of the body, not as a continuation of the physical side of how we relate here, but with our body, our physical body, but different, we relate to one another, to God, in the next life as well.
And sometimes you'll hear that we say that our souls go up to heaven, so our souls go along with our bodies. It's all encompassing.
Well, no, that's another one of those mysteries of faith, that the soul actually, the spirit, the soul leaves the body and prepares for that journey to God. And at the resurrection of the dead, at the resurrection, the final resurrection, is when our bodies join our spirits again. I know that, without faith, these are very, very complicated. It's impossible for people to believe. But with faith, we believe that Christ will call all of us to that final resurrection, the resurrection of our bodies as well. And I think, just to say, I think this is why it's very important at death, even though our bodies decay naturally as well, but it's very important that we take care of our burial procedures in the church. We now normally would be, the burial of the body as a respect. There's also a place where family members can return and honor the body, honor the memory of that loved one, which is important. And to have it buried somewhere is extremely important. The church now also allows for cremation. And of course, you'd check with your pastors if that's, you feel is an option, but that should be done also very, very carefully. Too often, way too often, I'm asked, and sometimes not asked, about spreading ashes over a place that was important. And this is not the practice of the church. This is not what we espouse as the proper way of honoring the body of a loved one who has died. The ashes, if someone does opt for cremation, should be kept contained all as one and buried or placed in a spot, a mausoleum, in a cemetery. Because cemeteries are important places for us because we are awaiting the final resurrection. There's many options that people think they have, keeping the ashes of a loved one in the house or on. And I would just urge everyone to reconsider all those things because theft, the next generation, who's going to take care of those the farther we get from the loved one? So we need to bury or to place them in a columbarium or a mausoleum of some kind where they're honored until the final resurrection of the dead.
So the spreading of the ashes is considered not appropriate because we are separating the body. What other differences can we expect, Bishop, in eternal life?
It's an interesting question. I think that if you just look at the last lines, and I think we could go to those last lines of both the Nicene Creed and the Apostles' Creed, that we believe in the life of the world to come, or in the Apostles' Creed, we say that we believe in life everlasting. Think about that. I remember even as a young man, sometimes, and I don't know why I would do this, but many times after Sunday Mass or at the end of a Sunday, after we'd repeated that or after praying the rosary and thinking of those last words, life everlasting. We are too programmed to short term. Everything's instant. Everything's fast. We don't think in terms of everlasting, which means it never ends. We're so used to starting something and we know, when we have appointments, we know when they start, we know when they end, et cetera, et cetera. But to think of in terms of God, this has always been and always will be, and always is. I mean, that is just something that really stretches our imagination and hopefully stretches our faith to believe in a new life, which is, of course, what we're focusing on this Sunday with this kind of mysterious gospel of Jesus, but to focus on the fact that life will never end, which means to us, I think, that it I guess many people would say, well, it better be good. And that's where our faith in God as our only good satisfies that. And of course, we've heard things of, well, we're just going to stop and look at God all day. And, and that's why I say mountains and hills and rivers and valleys. And, I mean, creation, the people that we knew here, none of that is a distraction of ours from God, but it's a communion with God through all of this creation that God has given us, and that will never end. And that is, I think, the point that we should look at what is different. It will never end, and you'll never be bored. How many times we say we're bored in this life, which means we're not satisfied. Whatever we're looking for, whether correctly or incorrectly, justly or unjustly, whatever we're looking for, we get bored pretty quickly. How many times have we said, I can't wait to see this movie, and then after it's over, now what? What's next? And to think of a life that is the thought of being bored, the thought of needing something else will not be there. It's beyond our categories of thought. But it's a mystery that we must remain in front of always, a life that will never, ever end. And to conclude, this really is to say, because it's a life of love. What are we all looking for? We're looking for love. Love in the true sense, the love that will saturate and satisfy our deepest longings. As we read stories of these seven brothers, that all that we look for in this life, that longing will never be there again. Love will satisfy all. Being alone with, being together with our brothers and sisters in God is the ultimate love that will satisfy everything. We will not need to look beyond that at all. And for that reason, it is life everlasting. It's just something we have to keep in front of us. And unfortunately, we lose sight of that. We don't talk about the next life enough, but we need to remember, all of us, that life is about life everlasting, and that death is only that gateway to what we really want. And this is something probably we all fear death. Many people fear death, I should say. But to see that it is the gateway to what we really want, and we really want eternal life, we want eternal love, we want to be known, we want to be loved, and that next life is the place for that to be.
And then to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant.
Right. Come into your master's kingdom.
That's right. Thank you, Bishop. If you would now end our program with a prayer and a blessing.
Lord, fill our hearts with your love. And as you revealed to us by an angel the coming of your Son as man, so lead us now through his suffering and death to the glory of resurrection. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.